The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Never thanked you.
And you'll never have to.
Oh, that was pretty good.
I appreciate
guys,
it.
Welcome back. Bachelors in the City. I have my co-host Clay Harbor filling in for Peter Weber at the moment. Clay, thank you for continuing on with us, brother.
My pleasure, man. You know, I'm part of the crew now, so you know, it's a tripod. You know, when we're that's how we stand up. You know, two legs can't stand up. You need three. So we're a tripod. You know, I'm gonna step up when you guys need me.
They used to call me that in high school.
Anyway. My gosh.
That was a good one. Oh, guys, we have a great episode for you here today. Yeah, they released some of the guys from The Bachelor. We know who's going to be on there. Our buddy's going to be on there. We talk a little bit about that in this episode. We have a special guest today, guys. And it is going to be a little football heavy. So if you're a football fan, you are going to absolutely love this episode. We have a special guest that actually played in the NFL. What do you say? Eight or nine years? 8 years?
Yeah. Eight years. Brian Witzman. He played for the South Dakota State Jackrabbits, a team that I used to play against in college. Actually, Missouri Valley Conference. And he went on to play in the NFL for several years. And Brian... You know, last episode we did talk about the, you know, these guys actually play. Brian is an actual football player, played in games, played in playoff games, and he's
on the Bachelorette. He was on the Bachelorette, as some of you don't know.
Obviously also on the Bachelorette. I was about to get to that, but Dustin couldn't hold his water for that 5 seconds. But thanks, Dustin.
You know what? Hey, you won't have to. That was wrong. I do it bad. I can't do the Batman impression. Anyways, says,
I never said thank you.
And you'll never have to.
You do it much better than me. All right, 6'7", 330 pound. Let's get to it. This guy's also a Super Bowl champion. Let's have him on. Let's get. All right, my man Brian. What's up, man?
What's
How
up?
We doing?
I'm doing great.
Welcome to the podcast, brother. Welcome to Bachelors in the City. You're official
it
now.
It's great to be here.
You are official.
Yeah.
It is good to have you there, Brian. Even though you are from South Dakota State University, which was in the same conference as the Missouri State Bears, in which I went to, and, you know, Missouri Valley rival. And I'll also say that they used to give it to us pretty good. Back in the day.
Is it a rival? Do you consider that a rival?
Okay. Oh. You know, the Jackrabbits used to beat us on the regular. But
Were you guys down there at the same time? Brian, how old are you? I forget.
I'm 31. So graduated 31. 14.
Yeah, I was gone already.
Brian knew
who I was, so you know what I'm saying. You know, years after I left the Missouri Valley, everybody still talked about me as a player and just how an amazing guy I was there at Missouri State.
Oh man. Anyways, moving on. Let's bring it back. Brian, I met you through Clay maybe 2-3 years ago. It was maybe 2019, I think it what's that?
Was it St. Patrick's Day of 2020?
I think it was before St. Patty's Day.
Because
I remember Roquan. I think Roquan was with us too. We were all hanging out. So how do you and Clay know each other?
I think
we met
Clay
through Roquan.
We met through Roquan. Yeah.
We all hanging out with like so a how happy do you know, camper, how do you know Roquan Smith?
Happy Camper brings.
How does Brian knows Roquan? Yeah. Brian played for the Chicago Bears. Yeah. That's how he knows Roquan. And I know Roquan just through, I obviously knew who Roquan Smith was, middle linebacker for the Bears. We started following each other on Instagram, just on some football buddy-buddy stuff. And then ran into each other a few times in the city, hanging out at the same places. And then that's how it happens, man. That's how you you make friends. I remember meeting Dustin at, I probably shouldn't say this place. It's not the best place ever, but Bottled Blonde. I remember Dustin, hey, man, place. I'm about to go on The Bachelor. Do you have any advice for me? I'm like, yeah, man, just stay out of the drama, you know, just be yourself. You know, I'm like, dude, this guy doesn't have a shot in the first place. Like, he shouldn't even go. But, yeah. Sorry, Dusty.
Oh, good time. Yeah, I remember you laughing in my face when I said I was going. Brian, I didn't know you were going on the show, man. I didn't know until I saw the spoilers of them posting your photo out. I was like, whoa, where did this come from?
It was a somewhat of a surprise spur of the moment thing for me, too.
How did it all start?
I mean, I was still kind of contemplating playing another year for football. Would have been my 8th season, and the Chiefs had signed me to the offseason and looked in my DMs, and there was a DM from a casting director talking about The Bachelorette and seeing if I was interested. And I was with the Chiefs at the moment, so I wasn't thinking about it then. But Chiefs let me go in May, went into a conversation where The Bachelorette came up, and I figured, why not just check this thing out and see where it goes?
Why not shoot your shot to Michelle? Shoot that shot.
You know, we had this question come up last week, Brian, on our last episode, actually, and people are like, how do you feel about, you know, all these players, these guys that go on The Bachelor and say that they're football players or athletes or something? And I'll say this, Brian is actually 100% a football player. He has played in football games. You know, he's an NFL football player, and Brian's legit. I know we had this convo, you know, about the guys. I'm like, hey, I respect it. They're just trying to make themselves sound a certain way. You know, it's cool to say you're an athlete. But Brian is legit a big offense. Were you a guard or a tackle?
I started at guard. I was a tackle in college, but I switched to guard. They thought I was too slow.
Yeah, so. And you can't see. Yeah, you can't see this guy's size in on the video, actually. But, like, Brian's, what are you, 6'8"?
6'7 3/8" from the combine. But I round up.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
You slimmed down this guy's quite a bit. 6'8". This last year, you slimmed down quite a bit from the looks of it.
I mean, a little bit. I'd say I was probably 320 playing, and I'm down to 300. So
6'8", 300 pounds. Yeah, and you should shake this. Never shake his hand. You shake his hand, it's like a baseball glove. It doesn't feel good for me as a guy to shake Brian's hand. I'm like, geez, this guy's hands are massive.
Brian is a very large guy. So let's go down. Let's let people know more about you. So tell us about college, going into the NFL, your teams that you've been with, all the way to getting a Super Bowl, you know, winning the Super Bowl championship. Let's hear all that before we get into Bachelor talk.
Yeah. So I'm from Wisconsin, small town in Wisconsin, right outside of the Twin Cities where Michelle was from. Then I was recruited really late. I didn't get talked to by any college till my senior year. Didn't play varsity till my senior year. I was hurt my junior year. I was a skinny twig my sophomore year. So ended up out in South Dakota, South Dakota State. Played there, redshirted there, played every game 4 years on. And then team started talking to me. I know Clay knows the process, but they were talking possibly drafting me in the later rounds, 6th or 7th. Didn't happen. So the cluster that comes after the draft, Texans picked me up. So I guess I'll go through the long catalog of teams I've been on. To start out, I was with the Houston Texans. Then I went to the New Orleans Saints, and then the Dallas Cowboys for a quick stint in training camp, and then finally, my first stint on an active roster with the Kansas City Chiefs. So first year was just kind of sitting, learning there. And then I got to start my second year and then went to the Minnesota Vikings for a little bit, which was honestly the only weird thing I've been on, is because I grew up hating the Vikings, grew up despising them. And then we played at Lambeau Field. I wasn't playing, but we were at Lambeau, and that was the one strange game I've had in the and it ended in a tie. So all parties kind of won. And then I went to the Chicago Bears, where I started and met Roquan. And then the Cleveland Browns, the Miami Dolphins for 5 days, the Carolina Panthers, back to the Kansas City Chiefs, and then finished with the Atlanta Falcons.
My man, wow. You have been around. You were playing wow. some fucking football.
Frequent flyer miles, baby. That's crazy.
All right, your favorite team you played for? Which one was your favorite?
I mean, the Chiefs got me the ring, and I'd say I meshed the best in that locker room. I had some great guys, and yeah, like we actually lost the Super Bowl when I was there, so it's an AFC Championship ring. But yeah, just to have that in my career and the coaching staff that I really loved there, just felt at home with the Chiefs. So moving on beyond my career, I think the Chiefs should be team I'd root for.
Number one.
Did you hear about today? Did you hear about today?
The Tyreek Hill? Yes.
Tyreek Hill got traded.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. No, best, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, Davante Adams, you know, there's a couple other guys that could put
to the Cooper Kupp. Dolphins, right?
But I think Tyreek Hill, it's incredible. How was Tyreek as a guy? Did you get to interact with him at all?
Yeah. I mean, he was a silly dude. I crossed him up in the locker room and hit a fade on him with the locker room poop once. The locker room went wild. But yeah, he was a good dude. It happened.
I was going to say, did I make this up? But before you went to the Chiefs, that's when I met you. And you and me, this had to be a happy camper. We were talking. And I think you were even contemplating on going back to the NFL. Were you not? Am I just making that up?
I mean, I just retired in January. So.
But were you thinking about retiring maybe a year before? Before you got that championship?
Yes. There were different points in my career where I thought my career would be over, and I just kept trucking and it kept working out. So
yeah, and got that ring, baby. Got that. You have it with you right now?
I could go grab it. It's in the other room. So I don't know if I can.
Yeah, Brian wears that thing out. He'll wear it out. You're the bar. You know, he has the ring on. I'm just like, man, this guy is just, he's got the Super Bowl ring, man. And he's just 6'8", has a Super Bowl ring at the bar. It's like not even fair.
Clay, you were on the Patriots, but you got cut when they won the Super Bowl, correct?
Or did they yeah. So playoffs? Here's the story. I'm in Jacksonville for three seasons, and I have a few different offers. I should have went back to Jacksonville in hindsight, but I end up taking the Patriots offer. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna go play with Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. My agent's like, dude, it's a tough roster. They got Rob Gronkowski. They got Martellus Bennett. They just drafted a tight end in the third round. They got Michael Williams. And in my opinion, in my own imagination, I'm like, dude, I'm the best tight end in the league. Like, I don't care who's there. You know, I mean, that's how we think as football players, you know, and I end up getting hurt. And I somehow made the team. Literally my bags were packed on the last final cut day. I was waiting, just watching. Brian knows how you just look at the internet and you're counting down the guys. Okay, hey, man, we're down to 65. We're down to 60. Yeah, I didn't expect him to get cut. You know, maybe I have a chance here. Made the team. Like, this is crazy. Make it through five games. End up getting released. But, and I didn't. And when they won the Super Bowl, most teams, if you played, like, with the team, they'll give you a Super Bowl ring. But the Patriots didn't. But the funny part about that is I didn't get the Super Bowl ring. But because I played at least five games, if you're a vested veteran on an active roster at the first game of the year, you get paid for that whole season. So I got my full contract with the Patriots. I signed the next day on the Lions, got my full contract with the Lions. I made a playoff check with the Lions. We made the playoffs. We got bounced in the wild card against the Seahawks. And then the Patriots, because I played in five games was a cutoff. If you play with the team in five games, you get all of their playoff money. So I'm sitting at home watching the Patriots in the Super Bowl, winning the Super Bowl check. I got the Super Bowl check. I got the AFC Championship check. I got the divisional round check. I got all the checks. I just didn't get the ring.
Sounds so in my like opinion, I'm like, me. Hey.
Also, I think it ages Clay a bit when he's talking about the Lions making the playoffs. So.
They made the playoff? Wait, yeah. What happened?
No.
What
was that? He said he was with the Lions when they made the playoffs. I think that ages him a little bit. So.
Oh, come on, man. Yeah, that was back in 2016. 2016, first round against the Seahawks. Russell Wilson. Playing in Seattle wasn't fun, man. It was cold. It was rainy. They were loud. And I remember that game. I actually had a really good block on Bobby Wagner, and he started cussing at me because I cut blocked him. I'm like, sorry, man. You shouldn't have been so coming downhill so fast. Next time, he didn't come that hard. So, pause.
Clay, were you a smack talker back in when you played? Did you talk smack?
In practice, I talked trash. I talked a little trash in the game, but I was typically a quiet guy. I mean, you were probably more of a quiet dude too, right?
I was more quiet, but there was one time where this guy just kept coming at me. Like, or he's against the Dolphins.
Did you say a curse word?
And he wasn't even talking shit to me, or he wasn't even talking trash to me. He was talking trash to my teammates about me. Like, I was like, this
damn.
Is, yeah. He's like, that guy's trash. I was like, we're beating you by 21 points. Like, why are you, what's going on?
Let him know, man. Let him know.
Do you have a, Brian, do you have your favorite besides like a play or a moment or something in the NFL that you'll just remember forever besides the Super Bowl? Any other like stories you have? Something funny and interesting?
I mean,
Clay had a pretty good one the other day.
Starting against Aaron Donald.
Okay.
And that's holding them to one tackle and one hurry on the quarterback. I do have a story about that. I was backside on a double team, and we had a receiver who was in the role of a tight end and going back on that play. So you run it this way. Usually a tight end swipes back, but it was a receiver swiping back that week. And I whiffed on Donald. He swam me, and the tackle was holding on to him. And the guy cut his legs out because he didn't know any better. Because the coaches hadn't told him not to high low someone, and that dude got like $12,000 fine.
Oh,
but
wow.
I wasn't paying that though, because I will say he made probably league minimum, and he was driving a Bentley. I was like, I'm not. Maybe if you're And that guy ended up getting like a PPP loan fraud.
No shit. He was one of those types?
Yes, he was one of those types. So I'm happy I didn't pay his fine. So.
Yeah, no, don't pay his fine. Forget that guy. Man.
Damn. Okay, you don't want to drop any names, but I mean, hey, can we get a name?
I mean.
Drop his name. Drop his name.
No, we're good.
You know, another buddy that just got released on the Bachelor spoiler sites. I don't know if you should talk about this, but
I guess we can say his names now. Yeah.
Hey, he's out there. We didn't put it out there. It's out there on the Reality Steve, the Bachelor Nation scoop. But one of Dustin's best friends, guy I grew up with, we hang out a lot. I think you know him too, Brian. His name's Nate.
Yeah.
He's actually going on the season with Gabby and Rachel. So
Dustin, what are your thoughts? We got one more to the group.
I thought he was part of it when he was hanging out with you guys. I thought already a part of it. I thought he was already.
He seemed like it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He had a good old time, but he's a good guy, man. He's a daddy's girl. Well, he's got a daughter. He loves his daughter to death. Sorry, I said that wrong. But how do you put it? I don't know. Anyways, he's got a daughter. He loves his daughter to death. He's always doing stuff with her, going on vacations with her. He's a great guy. He's a great catch, has a great career. Electrical engineer. Super funny, super goofy. I call him probably the dumbest, smartest person I know. He's pretty much a genius, but some of his common sense, I don't know. But we'll see what happens on this show, though. I'm excited.
I know. I'm excited to watch him, man. I think it'll be fun. It's always good to have a guy that you know on the season. And to watch that, I mean, that's why Paradise, I think, was so much fun for me to watch. I'm watching Joe. I'm texting. I'm like, dude, did you write this script for Paradise? Like, this is insane. Like, it literally is like a script that Joe wrote. And first, I'm going to go on the beach. I'm not going to have success. I'm going to meet, Serena. Then they're going to send out my ex. We're going to end things. I'm going to get back with her. I'm like, dude, this stuff's hilarious. But I'm looking forward to watching Nate. I think that'll be fun.
Brian, are you done with Bachelor Nation? Are you still... We might see you on the beach.
I think I'm done. Yeah.
You think you're done? One and done?
Yes. I was my choice. Too, so. My choice, and I haven't heard anything since night one. So
All done. So tell us about night one then. So you get called to be on the Bachelorette. You get the DM. You look at it. You're like, why not? You know, I'm just retiring. Why not try something different and new? Tell us about that experience of flying out there and getting ready for night one and all that. Just tell us. Yeah. Tell it all.
First off, I'm just all about doing things that kind of get me out of my comfort zone. So I felt that was something that kind of pushed my boundaries a little bit. I'm more of a soft-spoken, not the center of attention kind of person. I feel like a lot of the people that go on the show already have that very outspoken personality that I don't tend to carry with myself. So, yeah, I mean, first off, as you've watched the season, you knew it was in Palm Springs, and Palm Springs in July, of all things. So, for me, being a 300-pound man, I'm like, I typed into all these stores to be like, okay, where am I going to find linen? Like, I can only wear linen there. So, because I'm very worried about sweating when I'm in that heat. So,
finding a suit for you has to be brutal, by the way. Yes, I mean, it has to be a brutal process, man. The amount of fabric that they're going to need to cover this man in a suit is probably incredible. But please continue your story.
But yeah, so I packed up, headed out there, and went through the process, got to night one, and I
shot that shot. Shot that shot.
I tried to shoot the shot, but I was shooting blanks. So
it's all good, man. Hey.
I'm surprised by that. Did you get time with Michelle? And what was your first impression when you actually saw Michelle? Were you taken by her beauty? Were you like, maybe this isn't my type? And then did you get time? And then how was your conversation?
Yeah. I'd say first off, just coming out of the limo, regardless of who's on the other end, you're nervous. You're
right.
You know that's
you've
the iconic
in
moment.
Playoff games. You're so nervous. Your heart rate is jacked. I'm like, why? You know, we've both played in all these games and these high pressure situations, and now we're stepping out of limo, and you know we're nervous. I'm like, I was embarrassed for myself.
Yeah, because I mean, my first ever start in the NFL was against the Patriots Thursday night to open the season, and like, I'm like, this is getting close to that, but yeah. Out of the limo, obviously, Michelle looked beautiful in that dress and everything. And I would like to think that I had a few ideas that in the lead up to it, but I just kind of went with the more soft spoken, because I looked at a few episodes prior just to kind of see what I was getting myself into and see what. Like, who was being genuine and were they having success? And like, I felt like Dale was being genuine with his entrance, and actually Dale Moss was from my college and everything. So South Dakota State.
Oh yeah, he was a South Dakota State football player. So we'll get to that after this.
But yeah, so I just wanted to be genuine and be myself, and I said, what did I say? Shoot, drawing a blank. No, I said, I've spent 8 years putting my body on the line for my teammates in professional football, and I'm ready to come here tonight and put my heart on the line for you. So,
bam! Know what you should have did?
That's a good line.
Yeah. That is a good line. But what you should have did was you should have taken her finger and slipped that Super Bowl ring on her finger.
I didn't have it yet.
Like let's check later. You blew it, Brian.
No,
that was
they
it.
Didn't get it to you until September of the next year or of that year. So
you didn't have it yet.
I didn't have it yet. I was not the owner of the ring yet. So
the Chiefs fucked you on that one, man. You could have that would have got you past night one for sure.
Yeah. So how did you get a chance to talk to her like throughout the night, and then like how long did you get?
I did. I got 5 minutes. I think I was one of the last people to talk to her, and I don't blame her for it, but I feel like she was a little cashed out. I mean, it was a long process where, you're already talking to over 20 guys. And, I mean, we didn't really have much of a spark when we were talking. I mean, I just wanted to let her know what I was about, what I was coming there for. I was kind of stepping away from football, even though I wasn't sure if I was done with it. and I was taking that commitment because I thought she was a really cool girl. And that I'm more of a soft-spoken person, and I'm putting myself out there because I appreciate what she brings to the table. But I guess that
did she see your shoes though?
She did see the shoes. Yes,
those shoes were fire. Emma, our producer, she loves the shoes.
Yeah.
Those shoes are sick, man. She gave us a picture right here to look at.
So despite the shoes, I still didn't get the rose. So.
Damn. That's all right, man. Her loss, man. She should have kept you around. She kept you around.
I am a true believer. If you had the ring, though, if you had the ring and you put it on her finger, you would have been till the end, my friend.
He didn't have the Super Bowl ring yet, Dustin.
I know. I'm just saying. I wish he had the ring.
I went in, and I'm still of somewhat of the belief that Michelle is not a flashy kind of person that wouldn't be attracted to that, but. But
Not. But no, it's still like it's a good little. It's just a get the hook in there, get the hook.
So she knows that you're not a fake NFL player like everyone else that's gone on the show except for me and Clay.
That's right. Yeah. There we go.
So you went to college with Dale Moss. You guys both went to South Dakota State. I knew Dale went to South Dakota State. I knew you went to South Dakota State. For some reason, I never pieced that together. Did you guys go at the same time?
So we were on the same team, I think, redshirt freshman year. He was just a one-time. He did 4 years of basketball and then just 1 year of football.
Oh, so, he only played 1 year of football. He's a basketball player.
Yes, he's a basketball player.
Okay, so how was Dale on at South Dakota State? Do you remember anything about him that stuck out? Was he an outgoing guy? Was he just a freak athlete in the football field? So tell us a little bit about Dale from your perspective.
Yeah, because I remember going to the basketball games, and he was that guy that would have the dynamic dunks and get the crowd going. And we had a pretty solid basketball team. We just went to March Madness. Sadly, lost last second to Providence, but
Garrett Callahan was a kid, was my rival in college, and he played at South Dakota State, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
But what's that like living in South Dakota? Like, who lives in South Dakota, though? Like, what is there to do in South Dakota?
I mean, I will say Western South Dakota is beautiful. It's the Badlands, the Black Hills, like Mount Rushmore. You got a couple national parks out there. So that part is beautiful. Well, Eastern South Dakota,
it's
very flat and barren, but the people are amazing. So I think there was a stretch of 3 weeks in college where it did not go above zero once for 3 weeks. Not great, but no, I enjoyed my time out there. I feel like it gave me a different perspective that I've enjoyed and kind of learned more about myself. So.
One thing I always realized about South Dakota is their football team, at least when I was there, they were so it was like 90 guys on the team. They had like 88 white guys. And in football, you just don't see that a lot. It's all a bunch of hard-nosed, like country, farm, white dudes. Their cornerbacks were white dudes. Their running backs were white dudes. Everybody on their team were Caucasian. I mean, I know it's not demographically. There's not many minorities in South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, a lot of the surrounding areas. That was always interesting. We go, man, this team is all, we just got our butts kicked by a bunch of white boys, it was just all white guys.
And
that was always pretty, pretty interesting to see, what do you think about the North Dakota State, South Dakota State rivalry? You hear about that in the Missouri Valley. I know it's a big deal for both of you guys. And when you were there, was it as big as it had been in the past?
The North Dakota State, South Dakota State thing, it was huge. But 4 years I started, we lost every game against them. They were all close. But only my true freshman year was when we have this huge rock. It's these rocks that divide North Dakota and South Dakota. It's this like 50-pound rock, huge kind of placeholder on the border. So that was the trophy. Only got to touch the trophy once. So, but we've been more competitive recently. We beat them this past year. So,
oh, two good programs.
I will go back talking about Michelle night one. I did have a present I was going to give her. I was going to, my dad in the woods of Wisconsin makes maple syrup, and I knew it was 30 minutes from where she grew up. So I was going to be like, hey, just here's a taste of home. I know you're far away, but here's something to kind of remind you of home, because it's from the trees right by where you grew up. So
I like that.
I want to try some of this.
I could send some out. So I could send some out.
Yeah, man, we need to try some of this. That would have been smooth, though. That would have been another good one.
Yeah.
Speaking on Bachelor Nation, your experiences on the show didn't work out with Michelle, but you met some guys, I'm assuming. We all meet some good friends. Who are your homies that you met
for sure on the show? I'm big buddies with Rick. Rick's in Chicago, and we kind of have our Chicago Batch Bro combo going now. So it's good.
Hey, man,
to have
don't
him
be trying
here.
To take my stuff over here, bro. Don't be trying to take over the Chicago Batch Bro stuff, man. That's me and the grocer right now. But I'm just messing with you. Keep going, man. You and Rick.
Yeah. No, Rick's just, I feel like me and Rick just vibe, because he's just a very down to earth, more soft spoken guy like me. And I feel like we have very similar values, and we vibe. So. And a couple other guys like Brandon. Brandon's a great dude. I feel like he wears his emotions on his sleeve and would also do anything for any friend. So I appreciate that. No, I mean there's a lot of
how
good guys
old
from,
is he?
From our season. He's 26.
How
I think.
Old is Brandon?
Yeah, 26.
He looks so young. I mean that's gonna pay dividends in the later rounds when he's like 35 looking. You know, looking 25, 26. But, man, when I saw Brandon, I'm like, dude, this guy's 18 years old. They put an 18-year-old on. This is incredible. But that's going to be great for him, you know, once he starts aging. But he just seems really young.
He does seem young. He looks young. Man, it's crazy. I'm not going to lie. I got a little upset when they announced The Bachelor, even though I think, you know, Clayton did the best he could. But you had so many top runners that were on your season. Top guys of color that, you know, could have easily been a Bachelor. And it's so crazy that they picked Clayton, even though, I mean, I don't want to take away his moment. I'm happy for him. He did good. He's found his, you know, his lady. But I was kind of disappointed in the Bachelor for that. Did you know Clayton much?
I feel like we related the most night one, just having our football backgrounds, him being from Missouri and kind of being more that Midwest vibe. I feel like you get a lot of coastal guys that don't necessarily have the same values as the Midwest guys. And I feel like we were meshing, and obviously I only got
one. Did you think they were going to pick him? Did you see that coming?
I didn't. No, I didn't. But I mean, they it's their show, so they can do what they want. But I will say the one other thing, I feel like I'm somewhat outspoken, like social issues and all that. And I figured I wanted to convey that a little bit to Michelle night one, that I am like very vocal about all that stuff. And that's one thing I regret, that I wasn't able to. And I feel like obviously the show wants to cater to all walks and not put anyone in their fan base outside of watching the show with any political stuff. But I felt like that was one thing I missed night one in being vocal about my beliefs and having her see me for what I value.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, Brian is very big into politics, and he wants to be a politician one day. And it's very impressive to hear his take on a lot of things that are going on, as far as the, you know, in the state level, you know, the federal level. You know, I think that, you know, he'll have a good career there. But is that something that you're still looking to go into, Brian? Politics?
Yeah,
it is. In some fashion.
Yeah, I could see myself possibly moving to D.C. in the next year or so, maybe diving into that. I mean, I think
just become the mayor of Chicago, man. I can see it
for you. I'd vote for you.
I feel like Chicago is not the most ethical place for politics or Illinois in general. So I don't know.
You know what's so funny? I actually heard something funny the other day, and someone was like, it seems like life was better whenever our politicians were corrupt in Chicago.
Blagojevich?
Terrible joke to say, but yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. I feel like everyone can agree that in politics these days, everyone's kind of going left or right, and a lot of people are in the middle, so not a lot of representation there.
That's true. After the show, I've noticed, I even messaged you about it. You've been traveling, my guy. You've been traveling. I've been super jealous. You've been all over the world. Is this something you think you're going to continue, just to be like a traveler until you begin more into the political roles in the future?
So I would do a backpacking trip every off season from football. I had a cousin who was adopted from South Korea, like 3 or 4 years older than me. Like this just 5'1" Asian, and she had done trips abroad by herself. So I was like, why can't I do that? Like she has a lot more to worry about than me as a massive dude. So yeah, I've been hopping into solo traveling and traveling abroad since I was 23, 24. So
I love that, man. I want to next trip, take us with you
for sure.
I'm doing Ireland in May.
Okay.
End of May. So middle of May. So I'll send you the details on that. See what you're up to. If you want to go, me and a couple buddies are heading out to Ireland. My white half is Irish. So I'm going to go to the homeland over there. I want to get to Africa, man. I was jealous when I saw you in Africa. I know Dustin's been over there. That's next on my list as well.
We should go to South Africa, like where Brian went. I want to go. I want to be in the jungle, my guy. That sounds crazy.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
I mean, South Africa was leaving there. I knew it was going to be like top three places I've ever been. Obviously, that you have the safari, seeing all the wild animals
Places. Rank the places on your last trip. Like, give us the top and then give us the bottom and the whys.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I was in Egypt and South Africa, but I did Switzerland, Dubai, and London as layovers. But
I want to go to Egypt. That's also that trip looked awesome, man. Your photos looked amazing.
Yeah, it was. Well, in South Africa, obviously, not to get real here, but our apartheid ended in 91, so I was already born when apartheid ended. So you think of, in the U.S., it was the 70s and 60s where that stuff shifted. And there it's in our lifetimes that it ended. So there's still, there's a lot of racial disparity there that kind of puts new thoughts into your head and kind of gives you a new perspective on things. Yeah, there's still pretty, I mean, obviously with apartheid, I mean, you have black and white people and the black people didn't have the money. And so even when the rules are not in place anymore, they still don't have the wealth. So it's still quite the disparity. But yeah, I mean, obviously it was beautiful. It was very modern. You had amazing seafood. It was very affordable. But yeah, I mean, there are different parts to, I mean, everywhere you go, there's different parts to it that kind of ground you and give you a different outlook on life.
Africa is that. I've been to Nigeria, and I tell you, African trip, going to Africa, going to some of these countries, it will humble you. You don't know how, guys, we don't know how good we have it here in the States. It's insane. It's insane how good we have it.
Dude, it's crazy.
People over there, literally how my grandma would say, don't have a pot to shit in.
Right.
It's like there's, and they're
pot
happy.
Pot to piss in is the usual pasta terminology,
shit in, pasta
but
pit in. Literally, people have nothing, and they're like, every day is a hustle to get on, but you see them smiling, and they're just kind of like ecstatic to see someone like you. It's different. It's like you made their whole day, their week, their month, just by them visually seeing someone that's different than them. I know. Man, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Going up in the favelas in Rio de Janeiro was really eye-opening for me, man. It's just the amount of poor, people, crime, and things going on over there. And then hearing all the people criticize the state. Obviously, we have things that we need to work on. But like, man, traveling is the death of like small-mindedness. And you really open your mind to different cultures to how good we actually have it here in situations like that. So in South Africa, it's still pretty, it's still a big disparity between white and black. Do you see like interracial like couples, you know, like do you see like Dustin running around out there as a, you know, a mixed guy? Do you see like me and Dustin, you know, or do you see like Dustin and his girlfriend, you know, Kat, blonde, you know, white girl, Dustin, you know, mixed guy? Do you see any of that out there in South Africa?
I wouldn't say there's overt racism there that kind of prevents that. I'd say it is a very, like, much more open culture and everything. It's just that you could drive to a place that looks like it would be in the hills of Malibu in LA, like looks like a $30 million house, and you could drive 20 minutes away and there are they call them townships, and there are these tin huts that are just stacked together for miles and miles.
Yeah.
And it's literally the worst third world conditions I've ever seen.
Wow. Even in South Africa.
Yes. And you go to that country and it's one of the top countries for HIV AIDS. Like, I think 25 or 30% of the country has it, but it's all concentrated in those townships. So it is
in the black community.
Yeah. With those townships, and that's where all the crime happens, and that's where, so it's that stuff's tough to see. Because obviously you're enjoying yourself, you're going out, you're eating all this good food, but it kind of brings things back into perspective.
Yeah, if you have a soul, it's hard to just see that and not think of anything, you know. Again, that's there to humble you and to be grateful for everything that we have, and also to help other people if we can in any way.
For sure, 100%.
Man, love that. Yeah, I definitely want to go on the next trip with you, man. And now we're going to our next segment. You're a little bit of a foodie, so we have a fun little question that Emma set up real quick for.
Yeah.
Have you been to New York at all? Have you lived in New York?
I've only been to New York a couple times, so I haven't.
Okay. Well, we can all help answer this. So Emma has a question. Which food is better? In my opinion, Chicago food. There's nothing like Chicago food on this earth. I can't lie. New York, there's a lot of food here. There's a lot of great food, but Chicago food takes it for me. How about you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't had enough experience in New York. I've been to a few places. I could recommend Emily's in Brooklyn. That's a pizza and burger spot that's real good. But yeah, I mean, I've dove into Chicago.
But yeah, speaking of pizza, what's your favorite pizza? Chicago pizza or New York pizza?
It depends on if it's on a regular basis or if it's like once every couple months, every few months. Because Chicago pizza, you're not going to have a slice every week. You're not going to do that.
No, not every day. Here, people have pizza every day in New York. That's one thing. I don't know why Chicago doesn't go by the slice. Are there any places in Chicago? I don't remember any pizza spots that you could just go get a slice and walk off.
Walk in, walk out, you get a slice of pizza. There's not much of that out there, no.
Yeah, it's more of a you sit. It's an experience when you eat pizza in Chicago, which I like deep dish. It's not my favorite, but I like deep dish.
Did you ever go to Pequod's?
Pequod's, that's my spot. Pequod's, that's my spot.
Pequod's.
Yeah.
Pequod's is good.
Yeah.
All right, sports teams.
Okay.
I'm going to have to say, go ahead.
Well, so I'm basketball, I'm a Timberwolves fan. So we've had one playoff game in the last.
Are you guys still around since Tracy McGrady left?
Yes, we are.
There's a guy, you know, Troy Hudson?
Yeah.
Troy Hudson played for the Timberwolves. He's like the only NBA player that came out of my town in Southern Illinois. Big Troy Hudson fan, but I'm sorry. Continue.
Yeah. No, I mean, we made the playoffs once in the last, I think, 20 years. So we're going to make the playoffs this year. So it's exciting. Exciting time to be a Timberwolves fan.
Are you guys really?
Yeah.
You guys are going to the playoffs this year?
We're currently a 7th seed in the West and fighting for that 6th seed. So.
Hey, Bulls are too, baby. I'm excited. Bulls are finally.
Who's on the T-Wolves roster?
I don't know who's on the. I haven't seen the T-Wolves play in a minute.
The Stephon Marbury, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett. Like, who do we got here? Oh, no.
You got Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, man.
You got D'Angelo Russell.
Oh, right.
You got Anthony Edwards. You got Pat Bev, Pat Beverly. You got
some good players.
We got some players.
Okay. So. Okay. We'll see you guys in playoffs. Public transportation. I could start this off and I'll say New York's got better public transportation than Chicago. For sure.
I will say you guys don't, the airport. Though.
These guys are too rich. These guys don't take public transportation in Chicago. These guys are rich, I'm talking to.
No.
I never took the L, man. I never really took the L, I'll be honest. But in New York, you're forced to take the subway. So I'd say New York just because I really never took the L. Never stepped on a bus in my entire 10-year run in Chicago. Not one time did I take a bus. L train, I can count them on my hands. 10 years. Never.
Clay would look at me crazy in Chicago if I said, let's jump on the train. He'd give me a crazy look.
But New York, I'm all about the subway now, man. I'm a big fan of the subway, even though one time I did head the opposite direction for about 45 minutes before I realized I wasn't in Manhattan anymore. But I like the subway.
Tell them that full story, Clay.
Let's not. Anyways.
I will say, I did take the train from Midway yesterday. So
I take the train from the airports. It's easy.
You can't take the train. Yeah. You go to JFK. What you're going to take a train from JFK? No.
You can, but you have to take
3 different trains, and you like jump a shuttle. There's like a couple different things.
It's confusing. Yeah, I don't deal with it. All this
Chicago
my
much more smooth.
Yeah.
Every airport has a train to downtown.
To the airports, you're correct.
I take the train from the airport to downtown, but I never take the train to the airport, which is weird. I never really thought about that.
I definitely do that.
Yeah.
All right. The skyline.
Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago, it's Gotham. It's Gotham.
There's no skyline like Chicago, I have to agree. New York's is very beautiful. It's amazing. Like it's nothing. Yeah. It's pretty much how you compare Michael Jordan to LeBron, in my opinion, the skylines.
And I mean, you got the architectural tour. You guys ever do that?
The boat tours. Yes. I did it every year. You have to do it every year. Once a year, you have to be a tourist in your own town.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I tell everyone that goes to Chicago, take the boat tour to start off your trip. It's amazing. Yeah.
The diversity of architecture there is just stunning. So.
No other. It's like no other.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Brian, it's been real. You got to come to New York and hang out with us, man. I know you're the king of Chicago right now.
I mean,
you know, you're holding it down.
If I'm ever there
for us, come on. You might as well come over this way with us.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, I've enjoyed being with you guys. So.
Yeah, man. Thank you for coming on, shooting the shit. Love learning more about you. And wait, one question. What's in store for you after this point on? Like, what's going on? Where can people look forward to seeing you?
As Clay knows, that first year of washed up athlete life is you're figuring things out. Because, I mean, you've been devoted to something for 12 years and complete devoted. And you get to into your 30s and you're like, don't have that at any aspect in your life anymore. And I mean, that's a pretty astronomical shift. So yeah, like I'm figuring some stuff out. So taking it day by day and trying to, I'm finishing my MBA. I have an online MBA that I'm going to finish and
congrats,
get some education there. But yeah, Clay, how was your first year out of the NFL?
Well, I mean, my first year out of the NFL, that's right. I mean, I went right into Bachelor Nation, literally doing the same stuff. And then I was trying to get back in the league for a year. And then when that didn't work, I went on Paradise. And then after Paradise, I went to, I was going to do the XFL for a year. When I signed with the XFL, right before I signed with the team, I went to the tryout and everything, and COVID shut it down. So then I'm like, okay, there goes that opportunity. So it was like a bunch of like snowball, just like pushing me in all these different directions. And yeah, and that's, I mean, that was basically what happened with me right when I, you know, got off out of the NFL. And hey, man, I'm still figuring it out. You know, it's tough for athletes. We spend our whole lives doing the same thing and figuring out exactly what we want to do. There's a lot of things out there, though. There's a lot of things the NFL will give you. Obviously, you're getting your degree. You know, they're going to pay for that. You know, your line of duty disability, you probably be able to, you know, apply for that. bunch of cool programs to, you know, I was with Dustin. We were just looking at this entrepreneurship workshop, this franchising workshop, you know, real estate workshop, all these cool things and how you can, you know, whatever direction you want to take your life. They got a lot of cool things for you there.
Right.
I'll send you over some stuff. And then also, yeah, let's hang out this weekend, bro. Like before, you know, before I get back to New York City.
We'll go say hi to Rick.
Maybe check out Rick. Yeah, check out Rick and Bachelor on stage.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say just enjoy your time, man. Enjoy it. Right. Relax. You've had a crazy accomplishment playing in the NFL for that long. I would tell, you guys are like warriors, you know? So take your time. I mean, I didn't go into the NFL, and I feel like I'm still trying to figure shit out too. So
yeah,
I think everyone is. But yeah, man, thank you for coming on. We got to hang out. We got to travel together. And who knows? Maybe you'll be on the beach. You never know, man.
We're starting it. For paradise. We're going to start it.
Brian for paradise.
I'd say I'm more likely to be in the White House than I am to be on the beach. So, and that's not very much.
Okay. Let's go. All right, man. Thank you, buddy. Till next time.
Appreciate it, Brian. Yeah, thanks for having me. See you.
Take care.
Bachelors in the City is hosted by me, Peter Weber.
And me, Dustin Kendrick. This podcast is produced by Red Rock Music.
Our producer is Emma Martins, and our executive producer is Red Yoakum. Our audio engineer is Enrique Hinojosa. Subscribe and like or review wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the show on Instagram at Bachelors in the City Podcast.
Got questions for us about the show, life, or really whatever? DM at Bachelors in the City Podcast on Instagram for a chance to be a featured third roommate.
We'll catch you next time.
Thanks for listening and sign up for our membership program to become an honorary third roommate.
Join now for $3 per month and enjoy the episodes ad-free.
Click the link in the episode description so you can move in.